We turn to Isaiah chapter 21. I'll be preaching a full-blown message tonight, but I do want to bring a few comments on some verses that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Isaiah chapter 21, we'll read from the verse number 6, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. I am set in my ward whole nights. Behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he had broken onto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he called unto me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come." Amen. The minister of the gospel is likened to many different personalities within the scriptures of holy truth. He is likened at times to be like a fisherman who casts out the gospel net as he preaches the gospel and he draws that net to shore. And calling some of his own disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ used the imagery of a fisherman, and he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The gospel minister is spoken of in terms of the sower who goes out at sowing time bearing precious seed, and with that seed shedding tears as he plants the seed, and comes again home with rejoicing, bringing home his sheaves with him at the time of harvest. He's spoken of as a warrior who goes forth to the battle in order to win souls and to deliver them from the power of darkness by the message of the gospel. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, we read, "He that winneth souls is wise." The word "winneth" being used in the sense of a military sense, that of a carrying away. We read of soldiers who speak about winning ground or winning men, winning cities, winning battles. And so the Christian minister, as he goes into the fray and into the battle, he does so in order to seek men and women, boys and girls, for the Lord Jesus Christ, carrying them away from their sin, and carrying them to the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel minister is likened to be like a trumpeter, whose job it is to sound an alarm, placing the trumpet to his mouth and giving a clear, certain, distinct, unmistakable sound of approaching danger for the unconverted. But there is another way in which the gospel minister is pictured and depicted in Scripture, that of being a watchman. A watchman would have been appointed by the people, placed at the nation's coast and at the national boundaries in order to watch out for the invading enemy. And seeing the enemy approach, it was the watchman's job and employment to warn the people that impending danger was near and that possible destruction of the advancing foe was a certain reality. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 17, the gospel minister, I believe, is likened to the watchman. We read of him as one who watches for your souls. That being the case, we have read of a watchman here in Isaiah chapter 21 tonight. The words I address you on are the words that we find in the verse 11 and the verse number 12. A question is asked to and then answered by the watchman. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman saith, the morning cometh, and also the night. Taking these words out of their immediate context, I want to apply them to you in the gospel. In these short moments that we have together, there are 2 points just tonight, simply. First of all, consider with me the question that is asked the question that is asked. This question, watchman, what if the night, is asked by the Edomite residents of Mount Seir to Israel's watchman as they viewed the destruction of Babylon by the Assyrian army. Free it of their own impending overthrow by those same forces. The Edomites, in their distress, now cry to those whom they had previously mocked. But their cry is much different in meaning now because God has turned the tables on them. This question, what if the night, suggests that there's now an earnest desire by these Edomites to know how long their calamities are going to last. I believe the earnestness of their cry is emphasized in the double repetition of the question that is asked by these concerned individuals. Watchman, what if the night? Watchman, what if the night? Let me spiritualize this question to your heart. I believe the inquirer of the watchman is typical of the anxious seeker after salvation. Such a person is painfully conscious of the approaching night. You may ask, what night? What night is he anxious about? What night is the sinner painfully conscious aware of? Can I say in the first place that the awakened sinner is conscious of the night of sin? Conscious of the night of sin. See, the unregenerate state of man's heart is one that is marked by the darkness of night. It is the night of sin in which the power of darkness reigns with unlimited control in the heart that marks the condition of the sinner's heart without Jesus Christ. One preacher put it like this: in this condition, the eye is closed in spiritual slumbers. The soul is involved in worse than Egyptian darkness. Not a single ray of celestial light shines within. The understanding is darkened. All is impenetrable gloom. Having the darkness, dark understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's how Paul put it in the book of Ephesians. Unconverted friend in this house tonight, this first Lord's day of a new year, are you aware of the night of sin that you're in? You need light. Gospel light. You need the light of the glorious gospel to shine into your darkened heart and soul tonight. What you need is for the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, to arise with healing in His wings. Because unless that night of sin is dispelled within your soul, unless the power of darkness is broken in your life, then the endless day of heaven will never be experienced by you. Simply put, gospel light must penetrate sin's night if you're ever to bask in God's own light. Gospel light must penetrate sin's night if ever you are to bask in God's own light. It is not only the night of sin that the anxious seeker of Christ is concerned about. There is also the approaching night of death. At night time all is still. The busyness of the world ceases. All labor is ended. Silence pervades the air. It's as if the pulse of universal life stands still. Such surely then pictures the night of death, because it is a death all our labors on earth are o'er. The busyness of life will come to an end. Our pulses will cease. Death is coming. The night of death. Watchman, what of the night of death? David spoke about the valley of the shadow of death in that great psalm, the 23rd psalm. For the believing psalmist, death was only a shadow. What do we need to form a shadow? We need a source of light. Beyond that valley, thank God, there was the light of heaven, the light of Christ Himself, the light of the house of the Lord, as the psalmist put it at the end of that particular psalm. But for the unbeliever, for the unconverted, for the sinner, for the one without God in this world, I tell you, there's nothing that will light Death's Valley for you. Nothing but darkness. Nothing but gloom pervades Death Valley for the sinner. Sinner, what of the night of death for you? That night will someday, maybe soon, take you into its cold embrace. What will death be for you who have remained in your night of sin? There will be nothing, nothing to cheer such a one when they come to die. Know that that thought of death's night would cause you tonight, this very night, to cast off the works of darkness and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the words of Amos chapter 5, verse 8, and I condense them, seek him that turneth the shadow of death into morning. The Lord is his name. That's who you need to seek tonight, the Lord Jehovah, the Savior of men. You need to seek him, and that earnestly, lest the night of death come and overtake you before we would gather again in this house within a week's time. Watchman, what if the night of death? Watchman, what if the night of death? The anxious inquirer after God is not only anxious about the night of sin and the night of death, but they're also anxious about the approaching night of eternity. The approaching night of eternity. We're told in Jude's little epistle that the sinner in eternity endures the blackness of darkness forever, while the Christian in eternity will enjoy the endless day of heaven. The sinner in eternity will endure the endless night in hell. J.C. Ryle said, as surely as God is eternal, so surely is heaven an endless day without night, and hell an endless night without day. Unconverted friend, unsaved person in this house tonight, if sin's night does not concern you, and if death's night fills not your soul with dread whatsoever, then may eternity's night terrorize your heart and your mind and your soul until you find peace through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the night of eternity is coming. Watchman, what of the night of eternity? Oh, eternity, the man said in Pilgrim's Progress, how shall I grapple with the enormity of eternity? What about you, sinner? Because the night of eternity is coming. Its shadows are already gathering around you. Then make haste. Make haste to Calvary's blood-filled fountain. Be saved without any further delay, because the night of eternity is coming. Watchman, what of the night? I move swiftly to my second thought. I think of not only the question that was asked, I think of the answer that was given. Note the watchman's reply in the verse number 12. In answer to the question asked in the verse number 11, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. The morning cometh and also the night. Now, on that, on the surface, the watchman's reply seems to be contradictory in its content, because he says that the morning is coming and at the same time, the night is coming. We ask ourselves, how could that be the case? We understand when morning breaks, night goes, and when night comes, the morning is over. But here we find the watchman saying that on this occasion, that both the morning and the night are approaching at the exact same time. Surely this is contradictory. But whenever we understand it in the context of the future for the believer and the unbeliever, then I believe this makes perfect sense. Because the watchman's message is like the message of the gospel preacher. It is a message that carries mercy for some, but it also carries a message of severity for others. It carries joyful news to some heart, but it also brings a sad import to others' hearts. Thank God for the Christian. The morning cometh. The night of our weeping on earth is soon to end. The joy of an eternal day will soon, thank God, break upon our heads. We, clad in the garments of salvation and in the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness, we'll leave this world of sin and sorrow behind, and we'll enter that land, thank God, that is fairer than day. That eternal inheritance that is presently laid up for us will become ours actually on that occasion, because for us the morning is coming. The morning's coming for the child of God. So cheer up, child of God. Remove that old frown from off your face and let that furrowed brow of yours be eased with the thought that heaven's morn is soon to break, because morning is coming. But alas, though it be true that the morning is coming for the believer, it is equally true that the night is coming for the unbeliever. Eternal night. And while the sun of an eternal day breaks for the Christian at death, and that sun will never set for the child of God, that sun will set forever for the unconverted and usher that individual into an eternal night when that sinner comes to die. The sun is rising for the believer. Morning's coming. For the unbeliever, the sun of life is setting. That sun will never rise again. And so on the exact same occasion, when Christ returns, thank God it will be morning for the child of God, but for the unbeliever it will be night. And so the watchman was right when he said, "The morning cometh, and also the night." Comparing the coming of the morning and the night at the same time, one preacher said, "That which will be a time of light and comfort to the righteous will be one of darkness and dismay to the ungodly." Unsaved one in this meeting house tonight, when the day of death comes, will you open your eyes in the morning of heaven? Will you open them in the night of hell? The morning cometh and also the night. In which will you find yourself in God's great eternity? Oh, if your present state is out of Christ, if you've never trusted in Him, never repented of sin, and exercised faith alone in the blessed Son of God and all that He did for the sinner on Calvary's tree, then I urge you, and I close this message with the urgent appeal that the prophet made at the close of the verse number 12. Inquire. Inquire ye. Seek after God. Inquire of your true state before God. Backslider, here's a word for you. Return. Notice it. It's found in the verse 12. Return. And here's a word for you, sinner. Come. Come. And so I would encourage you tonight to inquire. Inquire whether or not you're in the faith. Inquire whether or not the root of the matter is in you. Inquire whether or not you're unitedly saved, and brought unitedly into faith into Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Inquire. Inquire about these things. These are serious matters. Listen, my friend, you don't want to die without Jesus Christ. You don't want to go out into the night, the endless night, without a refuge, without an anchor for the soul, without having built your eternity on the rock, Christ Jesus. You don't want to do that. You want to die in Christ. Because whenever you die in Christ, thank God, the morning will break for you. Seek Him. Seek Him. until you find him. The morning cometh, and also the night. In which will you find yourself in God's eternity? Oh, may you inquire after the Savior. And if you inquire after him, thank God he'll be found of you. Because the promise is that if you seek him, you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart. And thank God that in coming to Jesus Christ, you'll find all that you need in him for time and for God's great eternity. The night's coming. The night of sin has already broken upon your soul. You're in that night. But that night will lead to another night. A night of death. It will take you into another night, the night of eternity. Oh, I pray that gospel light will shine in, dispel those nights, and cheer your heart as you come as a sinner to Christ. The morning cometh, on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. And the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? I pray you will, because you have trusted in the Christ of God. May God so challenge your heart and bring you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close this meeting in prayer. And in the stillness of these moments, we encourage you to seek the Savior. How do I seek him? How do I become a Christian? Call upon him. Take with you words. Seek him. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And thank God thou art a Savior for sinners. Save me from my sin. Make me a Christian. Fill me with thy Spirit and help me to live the Christian life. I turn from sin, and I now by faith trust in what Christ did on the tree was sufficient for my salvation from sin and hell. And if such words go from a heart that is sincere and earnest, and if you by faith have looked away to the Christ of God, the Scripture reminds us and promises us, Christ himself did so, that those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out, and those that call upon him will and shall be saved. If you need more help and more assistance, we're here to help. Please speak to us. We'll be both at the door, and we'd be delighted to point you to the Christ who has saved our souls and who has done wondrous things in our lives. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for testimony that has been given, challenge that has been brought from our brother, and now the challenge from thy word. We thank, O God, of the night that is fast approaching for us all, eternal night. And cry, O God, for those that are out of Christ, that such a night would cause them to be troubled and terrorized until they come in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ. And so answer prayer. Speak to the lost. Speak to the backslider. And Lord, encourage your own hearts as we've heard of what God can do in a life. The leading of God, the will of God within a soul. O God, may we all seek after thy will. And may we be forever asking, Lord, what would thou have me to do, having been blood-bought and made part of the family of God. And so bless us and take us to our homes in safety, for we pray these our petitions in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen.